Welcome to Builds with Blocks, a show centered around the micro action figures and brick-based construction sets of the Halo universe. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, and I'm joined by Tom Fishenden.
Hello there.
Matt Salvatore.
Ahoy, ahoy. How's it going, guys?
And we're joined by a very special guest, Sal from Halo Fan for Life. Say hello, Sal.
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks for joining us. So we are going to dive into some background on Sal and have some fun questions. We have a fun show for you, and then we're actually going to dive in later into what the idea that we came up for you is because Sal has a long history with Halo in general and Mega Constructs, Mega Blocks. What sets we haven't seen that we want? And so that's the main topic of the show. But before we dive into that, let's just kind of go around the horn and talk about what we've all been up to. I'm going to start with Matt this time. What have you been doing on the building front?
Not too much on the building front. I have been tweaking a little bit on the editing for some stop motion videos.
Nice.
But that's pretty much it on that. I have been actually, because of the mission debriefs, Spartan Assault, I decided to boot that up and play that.
Okay.
I'm reminded how awesome that game is.
Yeah, we just recorded that recently, and surprisingly, everybody was on board. Everybody was having fun with it.
It makes you feel like you're actually like controlling Mega Blocks because they're so far away. They look like the Mega, because we never did get that game that they teased about the Mega Blocks. It's kind of nice that maybe this is kind of like the substitute.
Yeah, that would have been great. Mm-hmm. Nice. Anything else?
Well, that's pretty much it.
Cool.
It's been kind of a slow build day.
Yeah. Tom, how about yourself?
Yeah. I have still not opened my Master Chief and Arbiter set. Really, really excited to get it open eventually.
Stare at it for a while.
Get a video done on that. Yeah. I've kind of got it on a pedestal. I've got a little shrine with loads of candles and pictures of the characters from the game around it. So I'll get there eventually.
I like it.
But beyond that, literally the only other thing I've done is my friend in America sent me a message because he was ordering some stuff from Entertainment Earth. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, this has popped up. Do you want me to add it to my order for you? Because it's only going to add $1 extra shipping. So I now have got the Predator 2-pack that literally just got announced the other day. On its way when it gets released, which is like Dutch in the thermal vision.
Yeah.
And then the Predator with the eyes lit up and the laser coming out. So I'm really excited to get that. But that's pretty much it as well. It's been quite kind of quiet here. I've been a little bit more laid back recently.
Yeah. All good there. Sal, how about you? Why don't you go give a little overview of what you've been up to?
Let's see. Building-wise, the last set that I built, actually, it wasn't a Halo set, but it is a Mega Construct set. It's the Dragoon from the Game of Thrones set.
Oh, nice. How was it?
It's fantastic. I actually have it sitting next to me. It's
big.
It's a fun build. Pretty big. I was able to get it on sale. I think it normally retails for $70 US, and I got it for $45
nice.
US. I love it. It's got these massive wings, and the wings, the frame of the wings, of course, is block built, but the actual wings itself are cloth and it's printed on them. So it's
really
cool. But Halo wise, I did just take all the pictures for the Halo. The Master Chief and Arbiter 2-pack set that Tom was mentioning. I actually was lucky enough to get two of those.
Okay.
A buddy of mine actually works at a Walmart, and so he found two sets for me and sent them to me. So I have one that I'm going to keep carded, and then the other one I opened up and took the photos for the review that I'll have up soon.
Nice. Perfect.
I did the same thing. I got two. One to keep tucked away just in case. Very nice.
You lucky.
Cool. And then you've been doing a bunch of reviews as well. You want to talk about that real quick?
Sure. Well, May is I've dubbed it it's the mega month of reviews. I've been doing reviews Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Yeah.
And there were originally 12 planned out, but I have two more that'll be adding to it. So those will actually get pushed into June then, because it's a pretty packed schedule for the month. But I have most of those written up now.
Great.
And as of this taping, a lot of those will have been posted then. The ones that I'm still working on are the Master Chief, the large one.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Nice. And the 20-in-1 Scorpion. Those two reviews haven't been written yet, but those are going to be big ones. In fact, the Scorpion set will probably be a multi-day, multi-article review because it's just so big.
Yeah. Matt, you have that one, right?
The Scorpion? Oh, yeah. It's a really nice build.
Yeah, it's I haven't opened mine yet, but I'm excited to because, yeah, I want to pick out, you know, I want to get a second one too, just so I have a second one because mix and match and all that sort of stuff. But cool, looking forward to that. If you haven't checked out Halo Fan for Life, go there. There is all sorts of good content on the blog, and check out his review section. And he has, you know, all sorts of Mega Constructs reviews. As he said, Sal said, you know, in May he's really action packed May, full of mostly new stuff. Right? It's all the newer stuff that has come out recently. Sal,
what for?
For Halo Mega Constructs, yeah.
For me, yeah. I've had some of these reviews and photos and whatnot taken since last year, probably around like October, and I just finally decided to post a whole slew of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, they're only like that old, but a lot of them are very recent sets.
Very nice, yeah. So we'll talk into more of that in a little bit, but it's always good to see other people out there reviewing. I love reading reviews. I love reading your reviews. It kind of validates your own, you know, your own feelings, or, you know, sometimes you pick out things that you didn't see, you know, when you're opening them originally. So it's very good. Very nice work, sir. All right. So I guess I can go really quick. I built my Banished Banshee. Tom, you inspired me because remember nice. We talked about in the Clash for the Ring blind bag series, you asked me if the green was the same green. I was like, I really got to break that thing out finally. So I built it. It was a fun build. Beautiful, you know, beautiful set. But the green is actually darker green. It's not as lime bright green as the Clash in the Ring Spartan that you get.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's blinding. Those things are But it was a fun build. I love having that thing out. I have another one that I want to get out. So I want to have my little Banished. At least I know there's a Ghost and then the Banshee that they have, so I want to get those out and put them together on a display.
You have actually reminded me as well. I was able to get another one of the Halo 5 Banshee for £6. So I bought that second hand off of one of my friends on one of the Facebook groups recently, and I just built that the other day and have got it sitting opposite the original one I had, so I've now got a pair of the Halo 5 ones.
Nice.
Yeah. That's my favorite Banshee design.
It's a good one.
It's cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I also organized my closets. I mentioned, I think, that I'm would have that big lot. It's moved on, and the room that I had everything in was just a mess. So I finally finished organizing my closets and my little kind of stowaway spot for all my sets. So that feels good. I labeled all the boxes at what's in there. So I'm feeling really good about that. And now everything in like my main closet, I can like, it's stuff that I want to pull out and organize. Whereas like the tucked away section is like, okay, I'll get to this stuff eventually, or I can get back to this later. So that feels really good. Really good peace of mind there. The other thing that I did is I also, as I was organizing, I pulled out a couple more figures for my chess set. So that thing is, it's coming one of these days. I'm going to tell you that it's done, but it's not done yet. So I did pull out a couple more Flood figures, and I had a Banished set already ready to go. So we're getting closer to getting that done. I also picked up, I've been staring at it forever, and I just haven't been able to get to Walmart. Well, I've gotten to Walmart once or twice since, you know, things are, you know, being locked down, but I haven't found my Raphael or my Claptrap yet. So I finally pulled the trigger. I had some credit on Amazon, so I finally pulled the trigger on those. I overpaid a little bit, but that's okay, because I had the credit to cover it.
Ooh, that Claptrap figure.
Yeah, right? So I'm excited.
One of those that I find now.
Yeah, right.
Because there's so many variants in the Borderlands game, so I want to repaint some of mine.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Very nice. All right, well, let's get into it with Sal then. Sal, you have this blog, Halo Fan for Life. You've had it for quite a while. It's very self-explanatory.
Yeah.
You know, it talks about your love just for the franchise itself. Can you give us a little bit of background of just your history with Halo and, like, you know, when you've started playing the games, all that sort of stuff?
Sure. So the first time I played was 2001. Obviously, that was Halo CE.
Yeah.
I was over at a friend's house. This was back during my days where I heavily collected Star Wars, and I belonged to a statewide collecting group, and every month we had a collecting meeting. Just, you know, it was just fun. It was just a way for us to get together. We would always bring, like, our latest Star Wars toy, and we'd always have, like, a show and tell kind of thing. And but this guy had an Xbox, and he had it booted up, and Halo was on it. And most of the other guys had played it, but I hadn't played it at that point. So he's like, you know, give it a try. And I just immediately was astounded by it. It was within a couple of days after that I decided to buy an Xbox and Halo. Before that, I was a PlayStation guy, so I wasn't sure about getting another console.
Yeah, right. You jumped teams, right? What,
once I got Halo, I've never gone back. So the last PlayStation I had was the PS2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't gotten a PlayStation since then. Any console I've got now, it's always been Xbox.
I like it.
But,
very cool.
So that's how long I've been playing. So it has been since the beginning. As far as collecting or my blog goes, the blog started in 2011. Prior to that, I had been reviewing sets on another site. Now that site's defunct now, so I lost about 2 years worth of reviewing stuff there. But oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, I guess back to just your origins of Halo really quickly. Like, I played Halo, I think I played Halo CE when it came out back in 2001, but I wasn't a big fan of it at the time, or, like, for some reason I was big into, like, playing sports games and stuff like that. So it's like, I played it and I was like, I'm going to go back and play either Madden, or I was big into, what's the other shooter game that came out around that time? Time Splitters. So that was kind of more my thing for whatever reason. But then I came back to it eventually. I came back to it during Halo 3 for a little bit, and then I didn't dive into it until finally 2012, right around Halo 4 is when I really, you know, went both feet in. But for you, have you been following it pretty closely ever since 2001?
Okay, so 2001 I played it. I was never really a multiplayer guy back then.
Okay.
So, you know, I didn't do the whole, you know, drag your console and your big CRT television to something else kind of thing. I didn't do that back then. But I really enjoyed the story, and, you know, I played that over and over. And then I took a break for, you know, about a year or two. And then, of course, when Halo 2 came out, I got that and played that again. Wasn't really big into multiplayer until the tail end, just before Halo 3 came out. Mm-hmm. And with that, when I found out Halo 3 was coming out, I started playing Halo 2 again. Then I started playing the multiplayer part of it, and really started enjoying that. And then when Halo 3 came out, of course, it was time to upgrade and get a new an Xbox. At this point, it became the 360. So
yeah.
I remember the first time when I got my 360 and I got the Halo 3, and the first time I put it in and started playing it, I was just amazed at the jump in graphic fidelity from the original Xbox to the Xbox 360. For me, it was a huge jump.
Yeah, it was.
Halo just looked so much better. And I couldn't believe, you know, just how much better it looked. I mean, I was already enthralled with what I had seen from the original first two, and then Halo 3 just exploded, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, when the Halo 3 Special Edition Xbox came out, I had to get that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So did that start your collecting then, right around Halo 3?
Well, really, the collecting started at the tail end of the Joyride figures. Now, I guess if the Halo Xbox came out before that, I guess technically you could say that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which one came first on that, but I guess you could say It was that or the tail end of the Joyride figures. But then from then on, after Joyride, the McFarlane figures came and I got all of those.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when Mega came out, then I started into that. And, you know, we can get into that part of it as far as, you know, how it exploded from there.
So. Were you a part of the hype for the, like, were they, was Mega, you know, marketing, like, hey, this stuff is coming out, or Bungie was, well, I guess it was probably more 343 at the time, wasn't it? It was kind of during that transition, wasn't it?
No, it was, when Mega first got the license, it was actually the original Halo Wars.
Right, yeah.
So.
But I think 343 was starting to take over the mantle at that point, right? The franchise?
Because it was
Bungie and then Crystal Dynamics.
They were doing Halo 3 sets.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they were doing Halo 3 sets, so it was still Bungie.
It was still Bungie when they made that partnership. Great.
Yeah.
So do you remember, did you jump on board right away with the Mega stuff?
Yeah. So if I can backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
You were talking about, you know, how I got started into it. If I can go back then regarding like building block sets, I had been a Lego person since I was a young kid. And, you know, mm-hmm. like my first sets back then were Lego Space.
So
I was always, I've always been a sci-fi person. I've always been a science fiction as well as real space kind of thing. You know, when I was a little kid, you know, we were still doing like, you know, missions, you know, actual rocket launches and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, the space shuttle came. So, you know, I was always into real space flight. And then Star Wars came out. So I was into that. And then when Lego did their space sets, I just had to have those.
That's cool.
So when I found out, and of course, jump way, way ahead then,
sure.
when I found out that the Halo line was going to be a building block set from Mega Brands. I had never heard of Mega Brands before. Didn't even know who they were. So I thought, well, you know, okay, I'll be cautiously optimistic about this because I was only a Lego person before that. I had never heard of really any other kind of building blocks line before that.
Mm-hmm. Did you drop off your Lego fandom, you know, in between there?
I still collected a little bit. But in between that, you know, there was a long stretch where I really didn't collect much Lego. I mean, I'm an adult collector, so
yeah.
There was a lot of years though where I really wasn't collecting anything.
Sure.
But
the dark times. We all have the dark times.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
for sure.
Right. So when Mega was coming out with the line, like I said, I was cautiously optimistic. I wasn't sure about it, but when I saw pictures of the first sets. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know, but it is Halo. The figures look pretty cool. So, you know, I decided to get some sets. And I will tell you this, even from back then in 2009 when they first came out, mm-hmm. those figures, for me, by far blew away anything that Lego has ever done with figures.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that goes to... You know, to the sculpting, the detailing, the paint application, mm-hmm. and very much the articulation. The articulation of those figures, even back then when they were a little bit less than what they are now, still blows away anything that Lego has done. And, you know, the fact that they're more realistic with comparison to the, you know, to their brand with, in this regard, the gaming franchise, I mean, I immediately fell in love with those figures. Now, way back then, Mega's pieces didn't quite hold together as well.
Right.
There's a term that's called clutch. And clutch is the definition of that is basically how the figures stick together, how well they stick together. Mm-hmm. And their clutch back then wasn't quite as good. So on occasion, pieces might pop off.
Yeah.
But that was way back again, 2009. If you zoom up to now, 2020, it's perfect.
Oh yeah,
they have
they've almost gone the other way. Where when I'm doing Lego, they come apart a little easier than the Mega Constructs. Mega Constructs is very snug.
Yeah. In fact, I mentioned the Master Chief review that I'll be doing. There's actually a point in that review. Well, I'll go over it where there's a couple of steps in there where I think the clutch is almost too good.
Yeah.
And it's almost a little too hard to get a couple of pieces on just because it involves side building. If you guys are familiar with that term, mm-hmm. where instead of building, you know, on top, like you normally do, you know, top and bottom, of course, there's the studs on the side then where you build to the side of the piece. So, it, you know, it adds another layer, another dimensionality to it. So within that set, there's a couple of steps where the clutch is, like I say, almost too good, where it's a little tight to get the pieces on. But once you do, I mean, it's just perfect. It's
yeah, awesome. It's beautiful. I think I mentioned it one of my previous shows, but I'm looking at it right now. It's an amazing set.
Yeah,
I'm staring at mine right now as well.
yeah, mine's maybe about 3 feet from me.
yeah,
it's Cortana.
So do you what was the first mega set that you bought? Do you remember? Okay,
so I kind of do.
Okay.
Okay, and the reason why I say that is, you know, there's some debate on this as to was it the Covenant Ghost or was it the UNSC turret set? Both came out at the same time, and I can't recall which one of those two that it was, but I know for sure it was one of those two. But I can tell you then, whatever one I got the other one within like a day or two, and then very shortly thereafter, I got the Warthog set. And then, like, from there on, it was just, that's it. It's over. I'm getting them all. You know? that's it.
I believe the turret is the first one, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, it might have been the first one that came out.
Like the numbered set.
Yeah, I think so.
The first one that came out. But for me, I think it was either that set or the Ghost that I actually picked up in stores.
Okay.
Ghost is the third one I picked up.
The
Warthog and the... And the gun first. Actually, I bought those at the same day.
So, Sal, do you have one of each?
Nearly. Very nearly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that was actually, according to your notes here, that was going to be an answer later, but I can easily go over that now.
Yeah, I'm curious. It's because we've been talking about it. You said that you picked them all up.
Yeah. So, since 2009, for quote-unquote mass retail sets, and I'll go into that in a minute, I've only missed out on five sets since 2009.
For mass retail. Okay. That's five sets. That's crazy.
Yeah. And beyond that, there are only two exclusive sets that I've missed out on. So let me expound on that then. So two of the older sets that I missed out on were, there was a series of several years ago that was called the Blue Series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was like a Blue Falcon, there was a Blue Rocket Hog and so on. But the two sets that I missed out on, they were small ones. So there was a Blue Elite Pack set,
okay,
and a Blue ODST pack. And I just never found them in stores.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, I missed out on them. And I really wanted wanted them both, but more so the Elite one because it had a Blue Honor Guard. The Elite Pack set was actually it was like an armor pack set, and so you could build the like I said, the Honor Guard from that, and I really, really wanted that one. So those are two of the older sets.
Mm-hmm.
Then a couple of years back, they also made these little cryopod sets. It was just like a plastic shell cryopod that came with a figure with a Spartan. I got two of the four. So they had a copper, a silver, a blue, and a green one. And I got the blue and the silver ones, but I never managed to find the green or the copper. So those
were so rare.
And then the only other set that I don't have as far as mass retail goes. And I say, when I say mass retail, okay, those cryopods, they didn't even see huge distribution in the States here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky enough to find the two that I found. But the only other set beyond those four that I've mentioned now is the UNSC Builders Forge set.
Okay.
And I'm really disappointed that I didn't get that set because that was another one similar to the 20-in-1 Scorpion set that we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is a set that had multiple builds that you could make out of it. There was like a wall that you could make out of it, like a little fort set with a mongoose. You could make a miniature pelican, a miniature warthog, and a chief's helmet.
Yep.
There were several things, and I wanted to get several of that set because I wanted to have all the different little builds, and I never, not saw it. And it's quote unquote called a mass retail set, but that I know of in the States, it's all extremely very limited release.
It's only in Canada that I know of.
Yeah, and I've tried to get people to help me get it, but I've been unsuccessful so far.
Okay. When I was tracking stuff down last year, it was on shelves in Canada's Toys R Us. So I don't know if it's
anymore. That so bothers me. It's like,
right.
How, you know, it's just stagnant there. Bring it to the States.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, now, since you mentioned Toys R Us, I have to tell you, that was such a stab in my heart.
Oh,
lost mm-hmm. Toys R Us, because Toys R Us for me, that was my go-to, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't mind picking up sets at Target, I don't mind picking up sets at Walmart, but for me, and this goes all the way back to any of the toy collecting I ever did, I wanted to support the actual toy store for my toy collection, mm-hmm. you know. So when they went out of business, oh man, that it gutted me, you know. Yeah. my wife would tell you, you know, I really, really felt it. And even to this day, I mean, I know they're supposed to be making a comeback, but I don't know that it's ever going to be the way that it was. And I hope that it is, because we need a dedicated toy store again in the world.
Yeah, I agree. No. Yeah, and I missed it, I think, by maybe a year. So, like, when they were doing all their liquidation, I wasn't collecting at the time. So, and we have a couple in my area that I could have hit up, but
yeah,
I missed that altogether.
So let me finish here. I'm almost done on that part. So there were two exclusive sets that I didn't get. And technically, they're not really sets. They're just figures. So back in 2010, there was Halo Fest. And mm-hmm. They had three figures that they had in little poly bags. And there was an Elite. There was a Marine. And why is the third one not coming to mind?
AC Jackal.
No. That's the special one.
It was
a Marine and I think a Spartan. Yeah, it was a Spartan.
Yeah, it was just like a normal Spartan too, wasn't it?
Yeah, those are the three regular ones, and I got those. But yes, that was the other one that Tom mentioned. Yes, the active camo Jackal was blindly packed within there, and I never got that one. And I'm so disappointed I didn't get that one. I think of all the ones that I never got, that's probably the one that I want the most, because I'm a huge fan of translucent toys. And in fact, I mention that all the time when I do my reviews. You know, I always, if it includes any kind of a translucent figure or pieces, I always state, you know, that I'm a huge fan of this. You know, longtime readers know this. So that for me, there's a term in the collecting world that's called the Holy Grail, where mm-hmm. there's things that, you know, like only a few people have, or, you know, something that's really worth something. Well, for me, that active camo Jackal is my Holy Grail that
really?
I have not been able to get yet.
Oh, man.
But
so how hard do you look on eBay for this stuff? Do you stare?
Well, I've kind of given up on that one now, you know, because first of all, you don't see them come up that often.
Sure.
And when they do, because of their rarity, they're really exorbitant in their asking prices.
Yeah.
And I long ago decided that, you know, I might want something, but I'm just not going to pay those kind of prices.
Yeah.
I can't feed into that, the scalper mentality. I won't do it.
Yeah.
So the only other figure then, that I didn't get, it was another exclusive. It was an active camo Spartan with a shotgun, and it came with a numbered block. They only made 100 of them. So if you got mm-hmm. this block, it had stamped on it whatever number of 100 that it was.
Okay. Now,
Mega has since released an active camo Spartan with a shotgun. So I'm not worried about the figure because I have that figure, but it's really boils down to that little block then.
You want the block. But
again, see, because there was only 100 of those made, you'd never see those. You'll never find those on eBay. And if you do, forget it. You're going to be paying through the nose for what amounts to a little 2x4 block with a stamped number on it.
Right.
I just won't do it. you know.
That's interesting to hear because, you know, I've been a newcomer to the collecting. I wasn't sure if Mega was had ever leaned into that, you know, that collecting aspect of it that much. It's but rare. Just it's the fact that they do, yeah. They have that, you know, 1 out of 100 means that they kind of were at one point anyway.
Yeah. It was something that that they special, you know, it was a special thing. And I think they actually kind of learned from that because there was a lot of people that complained about it back then. I think mm-hmm. they kind of learned from that. So, you know, they do store exclusives and stuff like that, but they don't make it as hard now.
Yeah.
To find stuff, generally speaking. Distribution, you know, notwithstanding lately, I mean, obviously we've had issues because of COVID-19, you know,
right.
and so on. But, you know, beyond that, yeah, they've kind of learned their lesson there and they've shied away from that.
A couple more questions before we dive into the main topic. What's your favorite set? So you have most of them, you know, 99% of them. What is your favorite Mega Bloks, Mega Construct set?
My favorite. Okay. So my favorite set, really, that depends on, you know, are we talking just figure,
people, sure.
signature? I mean, I've got favorites all over the place for different categories. But if we're really going to narrow it down to just one set, then that for me would have to be the Mammoth.
Okay, yes.
And the reason for that is, one, it's such a mammoth set, pun intended. you know, but it has the removable roof sections where, you know, you can see the command bridge area, you know, where the, you know, the people are driving the set. But when you remove the roof areas, it also, you know, you get to see the interior. It can hold a full size Mega Bloks Warthog within it. In fact, it can hold two. It was just such a huge set. I never thought we would see something like that. And it came with, you know, a bunch of cool figures. Mm-hmm. In fact, that was the first set that came out with Commander Lasky. Now, he's since been made into Captain Lasky, but at the time, that was Commander Lasky.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was a really cool set to get. So I think I would have to say that one. I really enjoy all of the Signature Series sets. You know, let's see. There was... Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the Forward Unto Dawn set.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one that they did, which when that first came out, we didn't quite know what that was because it didn't follow the same structure as the actual Forward Unto Dawn from Halo 3. So when we started first seeing pictures of this, we're like, what is this ship, you know?
Oh, was interesting. Infinity okay.
Or what? It wasn't quite so... But finally, somebody had found it online. They had found a description of the set, and it said Forward Unto Dawn. So the secret was out that it had been changed. The design had changed from Halo 3 to Halo 4.
For Halo 4, yeah.
This right. is the new Forward Unto Dawn. So, I, you know, that set was really cool. Then we got the Scarab. And
oh,
the Scarab.
Boy.
Now, listen, let me tell you a little story about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So... For a long time, I was really, really good friends with the vice president of one of the vice presidents of Mega Brands. Affectionately, he's known as Sparky.
Okay. His name
is Sparks. And so he and I were friends. We used to game all the time. He's moved on since then. So that's why we're not like friends anymore, I guess you could say. But anyways, with regards to the Scarab, now we had talked about that. And we had talked about how could we, you know, how could they make this set? They wanted to make it so that it didn't have to have anything under the body to prop it up.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came time to talk about things like the hinge joints and whatnot, they had to figure out, you know, how are we going to make this so it doesn't droop? That it can stay, you know, stationary, not have anything underneath. And the conclusion was to build it with these big ball socket joints. But because of that, it lost a little bit of its in-game comparison, you know.
Sure.
So it's not quite super accurate. I mean, it's accurate. It's very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple things they had to change. For instance, like the bottoms of the legs and the game, of the scarab. It's really thin, but here they had to kind of keep them kind of beefy in order for it to be able to hold all that weight.
Yeah.
Now, originally with the scarab, that was also when we were supposed to get the Brute Honor Guard, and they've not come out with that figure since. That's one of those few that it's like, oh, you know, they showed the pictures very early on, and people were excited because, oh, we're going to get Brute Honor Guards, and we never did. Ah, so that's a missed opportunity that I hope eventually Mega will go back and do.
What's the highest ranking Brute we have? I'm trying to think.
Well, I mean, we have Tartarus, we have Aatrox.
Sure, but like from the, you know, post-Schism Covenant.
I mean, we have several chieftains, we have...
Yeah, captains. Chieftains, there you go. Yep, you know,
yeah.
But no Honor Guard, that would have been cool.
Yeah, yeah. So the Scarab set, you know, it was, it's an enjoyable set. There's some cool backstory to that. But that they changed it. Now, they learned their lesson off of that, though, that not to post pictures about, you know, about their signature set that far in advance, because when they made the change and it came out without the Honor Guard, the Brute Honor Guard, you know, people were disappointed. So they made the decision to not come out with photos that early in case there were any design changes.
Yeah.
But then going back to the signature sets, you know, I already mentioned the Mammoth, the Spirit Drop set, dropship set. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. Now that's a Halo 5 build. So it's not the typical tuning fork that we were used to from the original Bungie series, but that set was incredible for the amount of figures that it had. It had, I believe it was 5 grunts and 2 elites. And the one elite that came with it was this really cool kind of mustard yellow elite officer. And that figure, first of all, you're rarely going to find that figure at all as it is anyways. They don't make too many of that figure. But this one had such a special coloring to it. So it really, it really stood out.
Mm-hmm.
But that signature series set, very well detailed. It had a little miniature base that you
could... Yeah.
Build for it so that you could set the Spirit on top of. Really cool. And then finally, with regards to signature sets, of course, is the Infinity. And I don't know about you guys, if you guys all have it or not, but man, I was blown away. I was so happy when they decided they were going to make this set. So
I have mine. It's waiting to be built. I'm trying to decide if I want to build it with my 6-year-old or if I want to build it just for daddy. So I'm still... Let
me build that for yourself.
Okay.
There's a lot of tiny little pieces to that that could be... Because there's a lot of what we call greeblies, you know, little added details and such that are on the side that could easily be lost.
It's a numbered bag set, right?
What's that?
Numbered bags.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You get boxes too.
There's a story also, if I can, behind the numbered bags. You mind if I tell that real quick?
Yeah, no, I think I know it, but go ahead.
Okay, so with regards to the numbered bags, goes back years, and again, I was talking with Sparky about that. You know, I said, you know, with these big sets, why aren't you guys doing numbered bags? Well, the story is that Lego had a patent on that, which I find absolutely ridiculous.
It's absurd.
Why can't a company number their bags for parts? You know, like, how is that? You know, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Mm-hmm. But they had the patent, and so eventually, you know, the patent finally ran out. And you have a patent; it's for 25 years.
Is it 20? Okay, 25.
Got yeah. You. So that finally ran out, and finally, that's why we're getting numbered bags now with Construct sets. And I'm so happy for that, because a set like the Infinity, for how large it was, there's no way that I would want thousands and thousands of parts on my dining table stretched out like that. You know?
I mean, the Scarab, like all those other signature sets have it, right? Or don't have it. So
Right. And
you
and
live that pain.
You know, I remember those sets of my wife being mad at me for 2 days because I had, you know, the dining table covered in parts. So
you missed the NMPD. You missed the NMPD, Sal. Do you not consider the NMPD Pelican signature set?
Yeah, I deliberately didn't mention that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So yes, it's a signature series set, but the reason why I didn't mention that is that we've had a couple of other Pelicans, prior to that. Mm-hmm. And while it's a great set, I do like the set. I don't consider it a signature set. I know that's what they call it, and that's fine. But I don't consider it a signature series because it's a Pelican similar to ones that we've also had. Now, the only major difference with this set is that it's got the big landing pad and a little bit of a side build for like a base. Mm-hmm. But to me, that doesn't necessarily make it a signature set because it's so similar to other Pelicans that we've had in the past. So
yeah.
It's a good set, but I think we could have had a different thing slotted for that, mm-hmm. Which I will save for the end of the interview because we have something we're going to talk about later with regards to sets that we want. So I'm going to slot my choice into there, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, it's a little bit of a weird choice. I think probably most of us would agree. I mean, I enjoy it. Coming to collecting a little later again, because once I realized there's all the NMPD stuff, that whole wave, I thought it was a cool compliment. Plus, you finally get a Mickey in there, which is cool too.
Yeah.
But it's not quite to the same magnitude as the other ones. Totally agree.
There's a fun fact with that NMPD wave as well. That was actually a fan choice. So they asked the fans what subline they wanted to see, and NMPD was the one at one because ODST was really, really popular at the time and obviously still is.
That's cool.
With comparison to that, since you bring it up about fans' choice and sublines,
yeah,
other choices that they had for sublines weren't necessarily that great. They had like civilians or civilian workers as one sublines, and I mean, that would be cool to throw one in here and there, but I can't see that being a subline that would have really done well, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the, I can't remember like some of the other ones, but they were kind of along the lines of that where it really wasn't, you know, there was, you knew once you saw the list, you knew it was going to be NMPD because that was the only one that really had any major footing in any of the games,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you just knew that was going to be the subline that was going to win.
Interesting.
It's almost as if they'd planned it that way. So.
Right.
Mean, you know, companies aren't above kind of skewing things, you know.
Yeah.
They want to give the appearance of choice, you know. Yeah. Not saying that's what Mega did, but that's what they did.
What's that saying? Those who vote decide nothing. Those that count the votes decide everything.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Let's move on away from that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your blog real quick, and then we'll dive into the main topic. So Halo Fan for Life, talk about a little about the history of that. You know, when you finally got started with that and dug in. You said you had a blog before, or you were posting reviews before.
Sure.
What finally got you started?
Okay, so like I said, I was doing reviews for another site. It's defunct now, but that was in 2009. And when I say we're doing reviews too, that I don't just do reviews for Mega Constructs. I was doing pretty much reviews for anything that was Halo product related. Mm-hmm. But this particular site, the now defunct site, I was doing mostly McFarlane reviews. You know, a Halo figure, and then Mega Blocks, and then, unfortunately, and this happens from time to time in Halo fandom, I had an issue with the guy that was running the site. I was a moderator. I became a moderator on that site. Mm-hmm. Then I became a quote unquote super moderator, which I had even more abilities on that site, and things were going good, and we had an issue. I won't go into the whole history of it. Sure. So I was frustrated by that. And so I basically quit that. I was like, okay, I'm just not going to contribute there anymore. And my wife actually, brought it up to me. She said, why don't you start your own blog? You know, you have a lot to offer the community. You could just do your own thing instead. And this way nobody tells you what to do. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty smart idea. So
your wife came up with it then.
So really, yeah, we have my wife to thank for the initial thought of the blog. So
I love it. Did she come up with the name too?
No.
Okay.
That was me. When I came up with the idea for that, I had to think, you know, what's something that'll kind of stand out, but everybody will know it. And you know, when I say Halo Fan for Life, I don't want it to sound condescending as if I'm the, like the only one or the top one. I'm just another Halo fan for life. I think what kind of separates me from a lot of other like Halo community sites is that, and I shouldn't say a lot, I should say the bigger ones maybe, is that I consider myself just another fan, like anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not better or worse than any other fans. I just happen to be a fan who has a blog, and you know, it's a successful blog, but I don't do it because of those reasons. The motto of my blog is it's by a Halo fan for Halo fans. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth as it was back then. And it still is now. You know, I don't do my blog for any other reason than to, you know, for the enjoyment of Halo. And at least with regards to the product reviews, if it's something that I can help, you know, another fan make an informed decision on, then I'm all the more for it. And that's why I love doing the reviews. For me, it's also kind of therapeutic. I'm a person that, unfortunately, sure, I suffer from depression, anxiety, and PTSD. So for me, building sets is a form of therapy for me.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy working with my hands. I have a degree as it is in industrial design. So this kind of correlates to that as well. Mm-hmm. So anytime I get an opportunity to make something with my hands, is always, you know, is always a good form of therapy for me. The fact that I can photograph it and share that with others, and again, hopefully be able to inform people of, you know, whatever pitfalls there may be of the set or the great things about it, you know, awesome. If they get some entertainment value out of it as well, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So, you know, 2011, we start the site and, I posted pretty much everything back then. Now, and maybe in the last year or two, I've kind of diminished that. And that's only because, you know, Halo 5 has been out a while. There's not really much necessarily new to talk about. You know, there's been some, you know, like, you know, there's been the PC releases and things like that. But, you know, with this month, though, with May and all these reviews coming that I'm doing now, now I am ramping it up. I'm starting to ramp it up now so that by the time Infinite comes out, you'll see a lot more articles on everything Halo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes sense. It's good timing. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of the reason we're doing this podcast too. It's good timing. We're all excited for Infinite. Infinite can't get here soon enough.
Right.
We need something to kind of fill the time, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, cool. Let's talk just a couple of quick questions. Any creators out there that you want to highlight, or anybody that out there that helped you get started that maybe you emulated as you were getting the blog started?
Okay. So on the latter part, not really. There really wasn't too many reviewers at the time. Mm-hmm. There were maybe a couple other people, but you know, I had already been doing my own thing for a couple years prior to having my blog. Mm-hmm. So for me, this was just a shift from having, you know, those things on one site over to my own and actually having a lot more creative freedom. You know, so, you know, is there anybody that, you know, that inspires me? You know, because I have the freedom to do my own thing, I can't really say that I do. It's not that I don't enjoy other people's content. It's just that, you know, I do my own thing, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, are there sites that I would highlight? One site that I certainly use frequently is Halopedia. You know, I think that's a fantastic resource. If you're looking up, you know, anything, if there's maybe a picture or something that you need, or you need some lore information or whatever it is. So I use that frequently, for whether it's my articles or just talking about Halo in general with friends or whatever. So I'd probably say that's the one. Now, I don't know if I should mention this because I don't want you guys to take any offense. There was a podcast, though, that I did become friends with just before Halo 4. And they were part of what helped put me on the map, so to speak.
Okay,
but if I can, I'll just quickly go over that. So,
yeah,
before Halo 4 came out, when Forward Unto Dawn was the series, if you remember that,
mm-hmm.
I had created a comic based off of screenshots from that series. So each week there was an episode, there were five episodes, and each week I would take just a slew of screenshots from that and then compile that into a document that made it look like it was a comic book. Of course, I'd have to take all the screenshots into Photoshop and do some magic there and then mm-hmm. add all the text in and all that. So on average, I was spending about 55 hours per week doing a comic book each week. And when those started coming out, at the time, B.S. Angel was was the community manager.
Yeah.
And she saw that and she started featuring those. And then Podtacular, that's the other podcast.
Yeah.
They noticed. And so they started having me on as a guest for that. And then when Halo 4 finally came out, well, there were Spartan Ops. And Spartan Ops used to do, you know, they used to have every week that would come out with, it would be a new episode and you'd have five missions per episode. But the episode that was another thing that I took a slew of screenshots of that and turned that into a comic book as well. So I did 10 comic books based off of each, you know, one each episode.
Yeah.
And again, 55 hours regular. And that was the average, you know.
Sure.
I mean, I did so much work on those, so much. And the thing is if you look at that compared to what I could do now, I could do a comic book so much better and faster. But that was when I was, you know, it was something new for me, something different. So I really put my all into it back then.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, and then at the end of that, after I had all 10 comic books done, I compiled those then into a graphic novel that ended up being a 300-page graphic novel.
Whoa. So,
yeah. Dang. And that's still, yeah, I have the link still up on my site where you can download that too. It's pretty,
I gotta find that.
Yeah. I'll give that to you afterwards. But
awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, so that was, I would say that's probably the first thing that really put me on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became more well-known then for my toy reviews, you know, afterwards.
So was that before Duststorm took over Podtacular?
No, that was actually, no, he had only been with Podtacular, I think, a year, maybe, prior to that. So, yeah, he had already taken over by then.
Gotcha. Him and, yeah, no, we love Podtacular. Duststorm and Godzilla Todd, I believe, are the helm of the show still. So, yeah. Great call out. Well, cool. Unless there's anything else you want to mention, why don't we get to the main topic? I feel like Tom and Matt are just itching to burst out these ideas. So why don't we get into it? So just a reminder, this is an idea that we've kicked around, just the show hosts here. I know Matt's pretty passionate about it. Tom has some great ideas. Things that, you know, we're all collecting, and we love Mega Constructs and the sets that they put out, but there are still some that we haven't seen that we want. Give it to us, right? Like, maybe, you know, use this as your you know, sounding board, and all these ideas that we have pent up that we want to see, let's get those out. So we're gonna go around the horn, and we all wrote down five ideas that we would love to see, what we'd love to purchase, we'd love to be created. And yeah, we'll go around and share ideas in as much as detail as possible. You know, whether, you know, what game it's from, you know, we'll talk about obviously the set, any figures, any other nuances that we'd love to see. We'll take a stab at the price point, but, you know, who knows? So this will be a fun conversation from here. Let's start with, I feel like Tom's got some good stuff just brewing. So I don't know if you guys ordered yours. So save your last one, you know, your best one for last if you can. And then, another little nuance. As we go around, if you have one that's similar, so, you know, if Matt has one that's similar to the Tom's first one here, then just kind of chime in and say, oh, I had that one on my list too, and here's what I thought about it. So this will be fun to go around the horn. Tom, what do you have to share?
Okay, so I'm going to start straight off the bat with a heavy hitter.
Okay.
This is one that we know a prototype existed of at one point. But unfortunately, it never got made. But I think now the time is right to do it. So it is a set that I am calling Arrival on Installation 04. Okay. Obviously themed around Combat Evolved, mm-hmm. but this particular version would be Combat Evolved Anniversary. So it would include the Bumblebee Life Pod.
Oh, yeah.
With a terrain piece. So you have the option of displaying it as if it has crashed into the terrain. Figures-wise, it would come with the Combat Evolved Master Chief, but I would want them to get a little bit creative with it because obviously we've already got that figure. So it would be a battle-damaged version with maybe some like black scuff marks on it to simulate the crash. Mm-hmm. It would come with two Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary style Marines. So dead they're Marines, basically, right? I mean, in this scenario, they'd be alive.
Okay. So somehow they survived.
Yes. They would be the Reach Army Trooper style, because I have a feeling we're going to be getting them soon anyway. So it makes sense. And then an Elite Major. When I say Elite Major, this would go back to the classic Combat Evolved, where it would be a Combat Elite, similar to obviously the one from the Clash on the Ring blind bags, mm-hmm. but in the color red. So in terms of accessories, you would get two MA5 assault rifles. So that would be the current sculpt, not the new sculpt for Infinite. Mm-hmm. You would get a tactical shotgun and a plasma rifle. The piece count, as well as the terrain crash site area I've put, so you'd get like some little bits of rubble and stuff on that terrain. The piece count, you're looking at around 700 pieces.
Oh.
And I priced it up compared to the broadsword, so it would be about £60.
Okay. What's that translate to dollars for our US listeners and viewers?
Mega translate their prices broadly across the spectrum, so it would be $60 as well. They don't do any like conversions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to include a pilot with the Bumblebee Life Pod?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
A dead pilot?
Quite possibly. Yeah.
We rarely get pilots. I think that would be a good inclusion.
Yeah.
Hell if I know. We're landing on it, lady.
And it would be a cool opportunity to get that really unique Combat Evolved Anniversary helmet, actually. So, yeah.
I love it. Well, it sort of sounds strong. Very nice. Matt, what do you have to share?
All right, so this set is probably connected to one of the most influential factions of the Halo universe. You only get to see him for a little bit, but his presence shapes a lot of the Halo. It would be the Gravemind. And so I'm thinking about having a Gravemind build set. And so this one, obviously, you get to see him in Halo 2. You don't see him in Halo 3. But,
so anniversary version?
Anniversary version probably would probably be the best. I don't like the poison ivy plant looking thing that and so then I think it's in Gravemind and maybe Sacred Icon are the missions that they're in. Figures, I would probably just have the figures from the cutscene, so I'd include Chief, Arbiter, the Prophet of Regret, and then the Oracle for Delta Halo.
Oh, that'd be
and
cool.
I'd have a bunch of little like flood looking stuff around it, so you're able to kind of, you know, make it, because I mean the area that cutscene's in is kind of dark and stuff, so I would just kind of add a little bit of flood. I wouldn't make him too big, but I'd make it like kind of like a similar to like how Lego does their snakes, and then just kind of overlap it, and then maybe tone down the teeth a little bit, because that always looked weird. And so I would say pieces wise I would say probably about 250 to maybe 300 on the pieces.
Okay, so and smaller set.
Yeah, I would say smaller, a smaller build set, because I don't think the Gravemind isn't like, I don't want to make him too big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make him like, you know, as tall as the Mammoth, but I guess he would be maybe a little bigger. But I thought maybe a good price point for that would be 45 to 50.
Okay, very nice. I like that. All right, Sal, do you have something for us?
Sure. Well, I got a bunch of stuff, but I'll give you one. For me, one of the really desired sets was that I wish they would have made, and I still hope they do, is Halo Wars 2 Blister Back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really thought that set was going to be made, and there's been a couple of really awesome fan-made ones out there. I've highlighted one of them on my site. That set was just, it pains me that it's still not made. It's one of those very unique vehicles, special to Halo Wars 2. And considering that, you know, Mega started with the Halo Wars license. I think this would have just been a fantastic opportunity for them to make that. My hope is that if we see the Banished as an enemy in Infinite, that the blister back has an opportunity to make an appearance, and then as a set as well. As far as piece count, I think this would have to be a pretty big set, considering you know, that it's a fairly large vehicle, but also all the detail that would come with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So piece count, I would probably put at least, you know, anywhere between 750 to 1,000. So with that, then the price would have to be between $80 to $100 on that. As far as figures go, I really want to see more Jump Pack Brutes. We only got that in one set so far, and it was a very hard set to find. And that was the UNSC Turret Takedown. And that set was it was supposed to have been released mass retail, but very hard to find. In fact, I had to get mine from a buddy that was in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So to see more Jump Pack Brutes,
yeah,
I'd like to see those in that set. And, you know, maybe a couple of grunts, you know, because it's such a large set, as long as they give us a few army builders in there, I'd like to see maybe four or five figures. And like I say, let those be army builders with that, and all Banished themed.
I like it. Very nice. Okay, I will go. I'm looking at mine. I'm like, I kind of have a theme on mine, but I want to do more of the larger, like, model type sets that you can display. And so number five for me is the Cryptum from Halo 4.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty rad. Somehow in my vision, it would be the full Cryptum. It wouldn't be to scale, obviously. The thing's giant. But it would be a Cryptum with a little door that can open up in the front. And then the figures that I would include are Didact, Librarian.
Librarian. We need her.
Yes, we need Librarian in that. The version of Cortana that is, like, she's having a hard time, like, not fully rampant, like the one we got recently, the red Cortana, but maybe there'd be a way that they can, you know, within the figure, kind of have her kind of phasing in and phasing out, you know, when she freaks out in Halo 4.
They have that before.
They have.
Oh, yeah, a while back, not with Cortana, but they did phasing brute stalkers that were half normal colored figures, half into active camo.
Okay. So kind of like Jewel and Dama, I think, is.
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah.
So that'd be kind of rad if they figured out a way to do that. And then Chief, obviously, would need to be in there as well. I put that at about, I don't know, nine. I'm not going to be good at my piece count or my prices. So about 900-ish. So it's a pretty decent sized beast. That would be around $75, I think, somewhere in that range. But yeah, that would be a fun set to have and just a display piece.
Nice. So are you going with the red Cryptum or the blue one from Halo 5? The red one because of the Didact?
Yeah, it'd have to be because Didact would be activated. He would be in charge of it, right? So yeah. It'd have to be red.
Or is it interchangeable?
Somehow, that would be cool to have different pieces that, like, different colored pieces that you could make it glow. Ooh, I like that. Because does the Cryptum blue right away in Halo 4, or is it always red?
It's blue in Halo 5.
It's only blue in Halo 5, okay, yeah. But I guess, yeah. All right, let's go on to back to Tom. What do you have?
Okay, so Sal, you're going to love this one because it is an army builder one. So obviously, I keep talking about how I want to see more Halo Reach stuff. And I was kind of having a think about this. And I was like, well, we've already got super articulated brutes. It seems quite logical that they're going to go and eventually do Reach style brutes at some point. So I was like, okay, so how could they release this in an easily accessible manner that lots of people are going to like? So I came up with New Alexandria Evacuation. It is okay. A set with 100 pieces. It retails for $15 or £15. Mm-hmm. And it would come with two ODST Bullfrog figures, a Brute Minor in the Reach style in Super Articulation, and a Brute Major in the Reach style in Super Articulation.
Go ahead. No, I highly approve. Go ahead.
That's what I like to hear. And it would come with an MA-37, a Spanker rocket launcher, because we haven't seen that apart from in the blind bags recently, a jetpack, a spiker, a plasma repeater, and the build would be one of the smaller scale Covenant pylons that you usually see alongside the Covenant barriers.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay, I like that.
I dig it.
Very nice. Matt, what do you have?
Okay, so this one does have a twin. It's from a Reach set, but the one I'm going with would be the Covenant Type 27 anti-aircraft cannon. It is nicknamed the Mantis. You can find this set in Halo 3. It's in the Storm, and you can find it on the Ark, or at least one that's being constructed. So this is kind of like the Halo Reach turret, but it's got the legs on it. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot higher up. And I've always kind of preferred that because I've liked the idea of playing under it, whereas the Reach one, it never felt really accessible. Like, you couldn't really get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So this one will allow you to kind of have a bit more playability around it, and it's got the kind of leg formations. Figures, I would probably say two ODSTs, a Brute Minor, Brute Major, and a Jackal. I would probably give the ODSTs just regular SMGs. Brute Major, I'd give a Brute Shot. Brute Minor, probably a red plasma rifle. And then the Jackal, standard, you know, shield and plasma pistol. And then I would also include for the accessories, I'd probably throw in a bubble shield, but I'd throw in like the Halo 3 color bubble shield, not just the like the gold, goldish clear one, because I know we don't really have that. We have a lot of the Reach solid blue ones, and then I'd throw in a lot of the sand platforms just so you can kind of play around it, and maybe a mongoose or a destroyed mongoose on the side. So because I was basing this off of like the Reach set, which was I think about 650 pieces, I'd say this one's probably about 750, and then I'd go $80 to $90 on the price range.
Very nice, I like it. All right, back to Sal.
Okay, this one I hope you guys will like. This is a Signature Series set.
Oh, big boy. Okay.
Cool.
Halo Ring.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We need a really good Halo Ring.
We do.
And we just haven't had anything like that. Obviously, you know, it's not going to be figure scale, but it would still be pretty big. I have it as being roughly about 14 inches in diameter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's big.
It would be a good size. As far as piece count goes, I would want it to have a lot of detail, and you have to consider that within the ring, you know, the inside part where you see the land and the water, I'd want to see a lot of nice detail in there. So I would probably put this piece count somewhere in the neighborhood of about 2,000.
Yeah.
You know, again, there's got to be a ton of detail to that. And it would come so that you could put it onto a stand itself that could hold the ring so that the ring is standing up, you know. As far as figures go.
How many plates do you envision, like the thickness of this thing?
Oh, gosh.
It'd have to be like probably three or four. Well, it'd be probably four. I mean, at least four plates probably thick.
Well, there's plates and then there's bricks. You know, one brick is 3 plates thick.
Right.
So, you know, I would say, let me approximate. I would say probably at least, I would say 2 bricks thick.
Bricks, so 6 plates.
6 plates
mm-hmm.
at its thickest.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be enough so you could actually show some detail, I think.
Yeah, and you want to be able to see, you know, the outer shell of the Halo ring itself too, and all that detail. And the good thing about that is there would be a lot of repetitive build for the outside shell. Mm-hmm. So you could build the outside shell, and you could have that pretty much lined out so that it has hinge pieces and it would be one big long line, and then you build the interior on top of that, and then at the end, then you curve it together and you clamp together at the end.
That's cool.
So it makes it easy to build, you know? And then I think maybe at the very end, after you put it all together like that, then to cover over some of those gaps is where you would add a couple other pieces on at the end. But this way, you know, makes it easy to build from the very beginning. As far as figures, we absolutely need to finally have all four Halo 3 co-op characters. We already have Chief.
Oh, yeah.
We already have the Arbiter, but we need to have Uzi Tom and Entho Saram as well.
Yeah.
You know, we've totally not had those as names years, and I would like to see those done. I mean, we've had kind of versions of those, and they were done in the old articulation, but they were never named that. So now if we actually got to see these two figures named with the proper, you know, articulation, I think those would be just fantastic. Now, if they want to toss in a Cortana and maybe, you know, a maddened Guilty Spark as well, that would be fantastic. But I'd like to see those. And then, of course, the standard weapons that would just go with the figures, you know,
yeah.
So, you know, assault rifle, energy sword, you know, carbine, that kind of thing.
Very nice.
As far as cost goes, I could see that being easily, you know, about $150 to $200 set because of the piece count.
Yeah, definitely. So I really like. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I really like the idea of a Halo ring as well, because you could even do something where you could use jumpers on one of the portions and then have it so you can actually pull off bits of the surface, like in Halo Wars 2. That would be really cool.
Well, I also had an idea on this that you could have a break apart piece, you know, so you could build it so that you have, you know, the full Halo ring, or that you could have part of it disassembled off of it so that it looks like, you know, where the chunk was blown off of it, you know, when it got crashed into and so on, or where it got exploded, you know.
Funny you say that, because that's one of my ideas. Uh-huh. Look at that segue into it. So mine isn't necessarily the blown out piece, but I do like that idea. Mine was just a cross section of a Halo, similar to what you saw at Outpost Discovery, if anybody went to that. So a section of it, right? Not the whole ring, but just a good section that would be able to show some decent detailing, and it would have a decent size. It wouldn't be a signature set size, but still it would be a good sized chunk of the Halo ring. But my game, it would be from Halo Infinite, because that trailer has got a big chunk out of it, right? The Halo does, that's Zeta Halo.
Nice.
So it could be the Halo Infinite chunk, and Zeta Halo. We would have Chief, we'd have Evil Cortana, which is her, like her dressed up self from Halo 5. You know, you know, we don't know what she's gonna look like in Infinite yet. And then Halsey, like those are the three key characters, right? Chief, Cortana, and Halsey. All comes back to them.
You know, if I can add to that then.
Yeah.
So I think a cool feature, if they were to do a chunk piece like that, is that if you were to buy multiples of that set, that they could connect. Mm. And they could make a full Halo ring out of them if you really wanted to. So maybe say the chunk is maybe an eighth. So if you bought eight of those sets, you could build a full ring.
I love that. I love that so much. And that would be a good way to suck some money out of people.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, and then it would be up to you to change the interior bits, you know, the land parts on it, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love it. So I was thinking this would be about $50. So if we did eight of them, you'd be racking it up. But there'd be people that would do that thing.
For sure.
And I'm thinking like around 600 pieces is kind of my guesstimate on that. But yeah, that's cool. I love that too. Did either of you guys have a Halo ring in your list?
I did not. I figured it would probably be picked. But I was actually thinking that maybe you should, since it's a Halo ring for the figures, you should add more of the Forerunner characters. So maybe like the Master Builder,
okay,
the Librarian. Yeah. Just kind of throw those guys in there, because I mean, like, I would love a Master Builder figure.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention in mine. I forgot to mention this because I even have it written down and I just totally blew past it. Beyond the figures, I would also like to see them do, you know how they're doing the miniature ships as well? I'd also like to see them do a miniature Pillar of Autumn, a miniature CSO cruiser, and a miniature High Charity.
Oh, that would be cool.
We actually spoke about stuff like this in our last episode, and we were saying, imagine if they did a series of ships. It came with like the captain of the ship as model sets, similar to when they were doing fleet battles. Yeah. It'd be something really cool.
Yeah, I love it. That'd All right, let's neat. Let's keep her going here. So, Tom, what do you have next?
Okay, so this set is a remake of a Halo Wars set. It is one that I always wanted to pick up and never got around to. And I just think that now the time is right to redo this set. It's quite a small set, but it's a cool, unique UNSC vehicle. It is the Gremlin, and this set would be UNSC Gremlin Assault. So it would come with a modern coloured UNSC Gremlin and one of the Forerunner power structures from Halo Wars. In terms of the figures that would come with this set, you would get Professor Anders, a Halo Wars Marine, and a super articulated Hunter. But with the Hunter, we would do something creative that Mega do sometimes, where it would actually be one of the Warzone variants from Halo 5. So kind of an amalgamation of two different games. In terms of the accessories, you would get a Magnum, a shotgun, and a data pad. The piece count would be between 300 and 400 pieces, and the retail price would be between £30 and £40.
I like that. Very reasonable. Dig it.
We need Anders for sure.
Yeah, we do.
I love it. Yeah, a redo of the Gremlin. And the Gremlin's a cool-looking vehicle. It's a really cool vehicle. So yeah. I like it. Go ahead, Sal.
No, that's fine. My hope there is that since we saw at the end of Halo Wars 2, Anders was on a Halo ring and she stopped by a Guardian, that if we see Cortana and her lot in Halo Infinite, that perhaps that will actually play into it. So Anders and maybe, Captain Cutter and all them will actually become part of Infinite as well. So perhaps we might see Anders as a figure.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. This is what I've been saying. I think now is the time to bring the Spirit of Fire back into the fold with everything.
Don't you talk about that. That's one of my choices.
He just mentioned the ship. All right, so let's go over to Matt.
Okay, so I have decided to go with the Winter Class Light Prowler, also called Wonder Woman's Invisible Jet. So I'm going to go with that one. You can see this one comes in, I think, Halo 5. It's in blue team, and then there's a level where it's on Meridian with where Osiris goes and checks it out. So I decided that I'd probably just go with maybe Argent Moon Escape would be the name of the set. And so you get the Prowler, maybe like a little landing pad with some data and stuff. And for figures, I'd have Chief, Fred, Kelly, and Linda. I'd have them come with all their standard weapons that they always bring with them. And so because the Pelican for Halo 4 was, I think, 1,100 pieces around there, I'd probably make the Prowler just a little bit bigger. So I'd probably go 1,200, 1,300 pieces. And I'd probably put the price range around 120, maybe 130.
Ooh, it's a big boy. Yeah. Nice. That's a cool set because Prowler is big, like extended lore. Like,
exactly.
Prowlers are in there. So it's fun to finally see it in Halo 5.
Tons of different versions of them.
I'm always very partial to the one we see in, I've got to get the name right because I got it wrong last time. The package? Yeah. The one where like the booster frames come out the bottom. I think that design's really cool.
Very nice.
The pack. Oh, okay. Yep. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it rolling with Sal. Your next one.
Well, obviously, as mentioned, the Spirit of Fire. Signature series set. I'm really partial to large starships. So for me, this one just screams to be done as a signature series. I was really hoping that was going to be made for Halo Wars 2 as a signature series set. So again, if this makes an appearance for Halo Infinite, I definitely think that the Spirit of Fire then needs to be made. But even if it doesn't even if it's not in Infinite, I still think that its unique profile, its importance in the story of Halo, says that it should be done as a set. For piece count, again, it's a really large set, tons of details on that. Again, I would put this one, another one, close to 2,000 pieces, if not maybe a little more. As far as figures go, I was going to say Anders, but since you mentioned Anders, that's fine. I would like to see a redo version of Sergeant Forge, another version of Captain Cutter, and then Red Team for sure. Perhaps we could also get why is her name escaping me now? The AI from Halo Wars 2.
Isabel, yes.
A figure size, not the micro one, but an actual figure size of Isabel. I'd like to see. Now, beyond that, I'd also like to see a miniature, the ships that brought the bases down to the planet.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Because that's actually, they're actually attached to the ship. So if we could get a few of those, you know, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, so for me, that's probably the highest on my wants as far as big sets goes. Spirit of Fire, bar none.
Yeah, we need one.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And I think the idea of the smaller ships is feasible because, as we all know, it was originally planned for the Infinity until they changed the design. So it's definitely something that they've toyed with.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Infinity, too, you guys do know that you can fit the Paris class frigate into the belly of the Infinite, right?
Yeah, I saw that in your review. It's really cool that space is still there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, that's my idea.
I love it. All right, I will go along similar lines, and another display piece. All mine have been display pieces so far. Let's get an arc. Give me an arc. Give me Installation 00 from Halo Wars 2. I want that. I don't know how they would build it, but I think it would be an amazing piece to build. I think we haven't. I need another Atriox in my life because I'm a big Atriox fan. So give me Atriox. We already have Decimus. We already have Lett, but we don't have Pavium or Voridus. So give me those two guys. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was just saying. Absolutely.
There's too many figures in this, but I need them all. So give me another Cutter. Give me an updated Cutter. Give me an Anders. Again, lots of Anders in our lists. I guess you got to throw in all a Red Team, right? Or you could throw in, we have all of Red Team. They all exist, but there's only one signature series of Jerome. But yeah, give me all Red Team too. Throw them all in there. What is that, six figures? You can do that. That's going to be a big set. I mean, it would probably be a signature series set, but I don't have it priced that way or piece counted that way. So I'm thinking around $100. I don't know if, because these type of display pieces are more for like people that are into just having, not like, it's more of a collector piece, right? So I feel like I don't know how far you can go up on that price range for those people or for it to be a decent, you know, success for Mega. So I'll put it at around $100 and about 1,200 pieces on that.
Nice. The only thing I would say is throw in a Lett Valair.
Yeah. Just throw in one for Matt.
Yeah, thank you. Just pour one out for me.
All right, Tom, back to you.
Okay, so I'm going to set the scene a little bit for this one. Imagine you're walking through some woods and you come across a strange structure that's shooting light into the sky. And as you walk up to this structure, a Marine sprints over to you and says, "Sir, before I saw you, I wasn't sure we'd make it." That is the premise for Survivor Showdown, which is an £100 set with between 900 and 1,100 pieces that remakes that first iconic Forerunner structure from Halo Combat Evolved. So the figures that would come in this set are the Combat Evolved version of Sergeant Johnson, a Combat Evolved Marine, a Combat Evolved UNSC Technician for you, Matt. I know you want them.
Mm-hmm.
a Combat Evolved Grunt Major, which, as I showed you guys a while back, you can already make just by part swapping with the Banished Grunt figure. And two Jackal Miners. And the accessories here would be two of the MA5, a Magnum, two Plasma Pistols, two Jackal Shields, a Needler, a printed health pack, and two of the smaller style UNSC crates in the new metallic green color.
Very nice. Ooh, like the health pack edition. That's good.
Yeah.
Fall back. There's only been a couple health packs, right? I know there's one in the Floodgate.
Yeah, they've been they came in a couple of the smaller armory sets back when they were a thing.
Very nice.
Did you have a price count for that?
Yeah, it will be between 900 and 1,100 pieces.
Yeah. Very nice. I love it. Nice. That structure's very iconic. And do we even know what that thing does, by the way?
It transports energy.
It's a pulse thing.
From one end of Halo to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like we may find out more in Infinite as well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the cool thing about that, too, is people could use that to rebuild to make... the ones from the map Valhalla?
Yes. Oh.
Mm-hmm. So they could make their own diorama with that, too.
So, Sal, you'll probably remember this, and I don't know if Matt and Colin have been around long enough for this, but there was a prototype of that at one point as well, yes. So it's definitely feasible.
Absolutely.
Very cool. All right, let's keep going with Matt.
Okay, so Tom stole my design, and he stole my set. I was also going to go with the Alpha Halo Beam Emitter.
Okay.
I really love this set because I think it kind of just touches on just the awesomeness of when you first play that Halo mission. Mm-hmm. I would make a couple of different tweaks though, because I would put it in the Combat Evolve style, but I would also include the Reach multiplayer map design where it has the internal entrance at the bottom, and then come up to the top. So I would include that. And I would actually throw in the Bumblebee lifeboat with this set.
What?
Just so that you could actually kind of have the whole kind of the mood set. I would include way more combat CE Marines, but that's because I just love their design. and I would have Chief and some Grunts and Elites, and my price point was pretty similar with Tom's.
Awesome. Love it. Same wavelength.
Oh, yeah, because it's cool. A good set.
All right, we got a couple left per person. So I think you should be down to two, right? This is your second to last?
That's right.
Okay, what you got?
Okay, so now this isn't a set per se. It's actually, this is, I want to throw in like a couple of things together and explain it. So this is just figures that I'd like to see done that haven't been made before. So Lord Hood, Miranda Keys, yes. A buildable Warden Eternal. It's got to be big, and it can't be just like a figure. It's got to be buildable.
Yes.
And then I also would really like to see Brutes rescaled so that they're the proper size.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. You know? I see quite a few people asking for this, like using the cod legs or something to add a little bit more height.
Bigger than that.
Bigger than that.
What I'm looking at is if you guys have bought any of the Destiny figure sets, the Cabal figure.
Yes. Yes.
They could use that as a scale size. And I think that would work perfectly because I actually have in development, but it's been there for a while. I kind of go back and forth on this, a Cabal sized Atriox.
Oh, speaking my language.
That's the size Brutes that I want to see. You know, I want to see ones that are truly that, you know, that scale. You know, like I said, Lord Hood, we need to see that. And they kind of have a figure that could work. That was from what was it? What was the figure? Forward Unto Dawn?
Forward Unto Dawn. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they could kind of use that. Miranda Keys would be pretty easy. They could use a Halsey figure and change that up some. The buildable Warden Eternal, and it has to come with his sword, you know, large sword, and like I said, the rescaled Brutes. So that it's not really sets per se, but just like you know, ideas for the Heroes line or blind bag lines. So
yep, love it. Very nice. The you're gonna make me go buy some Cabal now. Has anybody done custom like scaled Brutes? I'm sure somebody's done it, right?
Not Cabal size. I've seen custom Brutes done where people have extended the legs, extended the arms, and they work as far as height goes, but that bulk just still doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. All right, so I'll go. You actually, we've rolled into ideas a couple times now. So my second to last, my penultimate pick is the Warden Eternal. Give me a Warden Eternal buildable.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
Buildable set, not not as big as the one, the Master Chief that we mentioned, the buildable Master Chief that we have, but it's to scale. So figure out how to scale. I think he's, what is he, like 20 feet tall or something like that? And I know he's bigger than Didact. He's pretty big.
So yeah.
Give me that, and there should be enough like scale height to be able to put him together.
So he would be about 7 inches tall.
Okay.
To scale with the figures.
With the current figures. So it would it be bigger than our exosuits? Because it could almost be even just that scale.
No, it would be bigger than the exosuits.
It would be bigger than that. Okay.
Absolutely.
So give me that from he's in Halo 5, obviously, and then you can pair him with some Promethean. It'd be a whole like Promethean pack. So pair him with the new knights, and you could somehow figure out a way to like peel that armor off of the knights. You know, when you destroy, you know, they have that little glowy thing on the back.
Battle damage would look awesome.
Yeah,
that'd be really
right.
Yeah.
Throw me a Watcher in there, just because you know we all hate Watchers. And then you need at least a soldier and then maybe a couple crawlers in there.
Oh, let me add to that. Let me add to that.
Yeah.
We need to have the Promethean officer, the one that has the light, the light
turret.
Turret.
Yes.
We don't have that one yet. And it's actually a little taller than the soldiers as well. So I would love to see that. So yeah, if we're going to do a Warden Eternal, give us some of those as well.
Yep. I'm all about that. So you might have maybe knocked up my price a little bit. Maybe it's 45 now. I was thinking 40. But, so like probably around, I don't know how many pieces. It's a big figure pack. So it's probably going to be between 300 and 400 pieces, I would think.
Yeah.
But it just depends on the build.
I feel this because I'm going to knock up your price point even more. But could you do it so it comes with like a little buildable stand based on the boss battle with him when you're going to pursue Cortana?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, you could definitely do that. I like it.
Cool.
All right, let's wrap it up. Our final pick for everybody here. Tom, what's your number one pick?
Okay, Matt, I have a horrible feeling I may be about to steal your thunder again. I swear. Apologize in advance, but my number one pick has to be the Covenant CCS class cruiser. Purely because I don't understand how we haven't seen it yet. It's such an iconic ship. And the one I would go with would be the Truth and Reconciliation, purely because we spend so much time inside this vessel that I think that it has all of the potential to be a really good signature series set. So the interior would be 3 rooms. You would have the bridge, an armory with lots of Covenant weapons inside, and then the jail cells where you find Captain Keyes. And this then leads on to the figures, which would be Captain Keyes, a Gold Elite Zealot, a CE Marine Flood Combat Form, and an Elite Combat Form. And the combat forms tie into another feature with this set, which would be the fact that it would have removable pieces to kind of make the interior and some of the exterior of the ship look like it had been infected by the Flood.
That's brilliant.
As a part of that, it would include the piece that was included with the original Keyes to begin his transformation into the Gravemind, but would have more pieces that you could put on the figure to have him in a fixed position inside the ship somewhere. So, obviously, big set, you're looking at over 2,000 pieces, and I reckon it would be around £250. So going back to that initial Forward Underdawn price point of a really big set with lots of detail.
Love it. Very nice.
Nice.
Well described too. I think that would be we need a big, you know, we have the big UNSC ship, so we need a big Covenant ship. I mean, we have the Spirit, but it's just, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not one
it's
of
the capital class.
Not a capital ship. Exactly.
You could also do a capital ship one too, but have it break apart and then, you know, so like it simulates, you know, the destruction on Reach, the cruiser. But what I would add is a separate little compartment, like a living compartment for George, because when he transported with his slip space, living in the cruiser. Yep.
That's George brilliant. Is
alive. We could finally get his unhelmeted head sculpt.
Exactly. This, well, I mean, it'd be a little difficult because he'd probably explode if he took his helmet off, but.
Yeah, that's true. He's just floating in slip space. I love it.
He didn't die. He was teleported. You know that rupture was a slip space rupture. He was teleported.
Exactly.
He's on arc somewhere, man. He's alive. Don't
yes.
Dead.
Exactly. Oh.
Dead.
Oh, Sal, you're gonna be Aaron Campbell's best friend now.
That's I'm telling you, man. If Johnson could survive Halo 1, George can survive anything.
All right, Matt, what do you have for your number one
pick? So thankfully, Tom, you did not steal my final pick.
Okay, good.
So my ultimate set was the beam emitter, so this would be probably my second one to the last. So this one is the Covenant's largest airborne deployment platform, also known as Type 56 Covenant Lich. Yeah. So you find this one in Halo 4. It'll be in the mission Reclaimer. You see it sometimes in Halo 5. And surprisingly, also in Fireteam Raven. I got that off your episode the other day.
Yeah, that's right.
So I would include Chief in the Halo 4 design. So he would have his nice little scar on his torso. And then I would also include Del Rio, two Storm Elites, and a Grunt.
Okay.
And a lot of the Halo 4 style jetpacks. I'd also throw in some Covenant barriers. Some sand platforms, and then I would do some invisible pieces that you could keep the lich up, but I would also include like a green tunnel piece that was translucent, but it was also, you could actually like fit guys through it.
Yeah.
And then you could connect it from the bottom to the top. And so I would have like a little bit of a green grav lift there. And I probably want this set to be actually pretty big because you can move around in it. So I'd say maybe 1,500 on a piece count, and I'd say probably that'd be at least 160, 180. So maybe I would want it to be like a little smaller than the Mammoth, but I would want it to be kind of comparable to it because, I mean, the best idea would be to put these kind of in like a diorama type setting where you have the Lich and then the Mammoth next to it. I think that would look sweet.
Yep, absolutely. Love it.
Can I add one figure, Matt?
Do it.
Halo 4 style Spartan recruit with the yellow and steel markings.
Oh yes. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Long overdue.
That should have come with the Mammoth, to be honest.
Yep, yes. I agree.
I thought of a Lich as well, but it would have been the Halo 5 Lich where there's a Locke and RB hanging out. The Battle of Sunion. That would have been pretty rad, like that whole thing. You could actually include all of Osiris and then a couple of elites in there too.
I was going to say, it would be really cool to get the combat elites in the Swords of Sanghelios colors because they looked really good in Halo 2 Anniversary.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
The cool things about Mega Construct is that you could have the same set, just paint it a different color, and I'd still buy it because it's a totally different, it has a totally different meaning, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's not the typical Lich. That's the Arbiter Kylo Lich.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that kind of lends itself nicely to a whole other thing that I'm surprised we haven't seen yet, which is a lot more of the wreck vehicles. Like, I would happily pay for variants of the Wasp, the Warthogs, as long as you give me some really cool printed camo on them. I'm absolutely buying them.
Mm-hmm.
The Grunt Goblin?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, even that set, that was quite a nice small set where I could have easily seen them putting out, like, two variations of it at the same time with different figures, kind of like they do with the Destiny Sparrowhawks. That would have been really cool to see.
Mega used to do that a lot more back in the day. Now it seems kind of like one color, one set.
Well, it's also, we're 5 years from Halo 5, so maybe we'll see that after Infinite releases. All right, Sal, give it to us.
Okay, well, real quick. So just going back, you mentioned the Wasp. That's one set of all the sets I reviewed. That's one set that I think needs to be redone. Yeah. I was not happy with the Wasp.
Okay.
Mostly because of how the wing design was, especially towards the rear. It just felt like an incomplete set to me. So that set, I think, really needs to be redone and given justice to. I was excited for it, but then when I finally saw it and then when I got it... That was, I don't usually give bad reviews, and that unfortunately was one that I wasn't so nice about because, wasn't very happy with it. But anyways, now I didn't number order mine, so like what I'm going to give for my last one isn't necessarily my top one. Okay. My top one was really the Spirit of Fire.
Yeah.
But for my last entry, I would say I would like to see more of the large scale buildable figures like Master Chief, but now I'd like to see an Arbiter. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to see, you know, I'd like to see large grunts,
yeah,
you know, other basic elites, you know, so basically a whole line that includes larger figures. It doesn't have to be every single character or every single figure that's ever shown, you know, in Halo, but certainly some of the more standard or iconic ones. You know, Arbiter definitely has to be done. If you guys will remember from way back, they did do larger scale figures. They had a Master Chief, kind of. They had an Arbiter. They had an ODST. They had some ones that also had these magnetic steel balls in them.
Yep.
Were buildable as well. So I'd like to now see, on the order of the Master Chief that we have now, a line of large scale figures as well. And then I guess the only other part of that is years ago we had the anniversary Warthog set. I would really like to see a figure scale that could fit into that.
Yeah. Ooh. That'd be cool.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have that. Yep. That would be cool. So would you scale the Arbiter to Chief?
Absolutely. He's got to be taller for sure.
Yeah. And then the grunt would be the appropriate size. I love it.
I mean, yeah, they all have to be scales. You know, they all have to be in correlation to the size of Chief. So whatever their scale size is by comparison, then they would have to be, you know, that
big. I can't wait for the Didact version then.
They wouldn't do that.
That would be pretty big. And a Warden Eternal as well.
Wow. Okay, all right. I'm gonna do it. You ready? So you know how in Marvel figures they have like a body part?
Yes. And,
like Mattel did this, right? Yeah, so the body part would be for the Didact. If you buy all five.
Nice.
That's something I'm really surprised Mega hasn't latched onto. You know, that's a way to sell all the other sets. If you want to have this build-a-figure, you buy this set and it contains a leg. This set contains a torso. This set contains a head. I mean, that I don't know. Perfect. That's a great idea. Beautiful. I think it should happen.
Done.
So I don't want to give you hope, and I don't think I can quote the person who told me this on podcast, but that Chief figure came about because Target very specifically wanted an exclusive Mega Constructs Halo item that they could sell that other people wouldn't have. So that is why that special item was born in the first place, because obviously it's something that they've never really done before. And I think it has sold pretty well. Like, I've seen a lot of people buy it, so I wouldn't be surprised if Target want to continue that, which hopefully means we could get to see more.
That'd be great. Love it. All right, I will bring us home, and then we'll wrap. This has been a fun one. My number one pick, and I really want this desperately because we need it, and it's a big part of Halo lore, is give me an engineer.
Yes.
An engineer.
Yes.
We need, and you can make it from the Halo ODST era. You can build it in with that. What's the engineer in? Is it sort of the V?
Virgil.
Right? Virgil. Give me Virgil. Just give me a Virgil pack. And so you can make it ODST. You have Buck, and you can have Dare in there, and then
the Alpha 9 set all together.
Yeah, re-release Mickey. Cool. Give me cool. Mickey.
Yeah,
yes,
the whole thing.
We want Mickey.
You can throw a jump pack brute in there. So, yeah, we need engineers, and I would buy like 10 of them, just engineers all over the place.
Heck yeah, man.
Then you know, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say along that line. Then, since you're, you know, because that's not like a standard figure. Another one, not related to that, but how about a MOA? Can we finally get a MOA?
Yeah. That's right. We could all eat MOA burgers. It'd be great.
I want a set of a MOA burger van.
It could come with the little, you know, you could actually have the MOA, you know, food stand, you know, and then you have a couple of MOAs, maybe a civilian worker there cooking up some burgers.
Yeah. Somebody like a butcher, like maybe a cage.
And have like a little build to the side, a Noble Six in his cave, so he's coming out of the cave to get some dinner.
There you go.
Because he survived too.
Right. With my engineer set, it would be mostly figures, but then you would have a little console that he can go and hack, right? Because that's the engineer's thing. You'd be about $25 probably for an engineer, because it could either be a figure, but it would be fun if you could make it buildable. But it'd be scaled wise, it might be kind of tough to do that. But either way, either a figure like a mold or a buildable engineer would be fantastic. About $25 for this thing.
Let me throw that out on that one then. Okay, so that could easily be something that's kind of buildable, where you have the body and then the head would be like another piece. And they actually already have pieces that are similar to the tentacles. Back when they were doing Marvel figures, there was for Iron Man 2, there was a Whiplash figure, and he had these whips. And there's a couple of figures and sets that have these whips. If they did that in the translucent blue, like the engineer has, they could easily use those standard pieces as the tentacles for the engineer as well. So that easily could be done. And then you could also have on top of that removable armor so that you could have an armored version and an unarmored version.
I like it. Yeah. Like with the, oh wait, are you talking about like with the exploding vest, that thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Mm. Very nice. And, you know, Matt it did our intro, and he did his best on creating our little engineer. And that's Builds with Blocks, by the way. A little inside baseball. That's our mascot. And I'd love to get an official version of it. So cool. All right. We have had a lot of fun. We run very long. Hopefully you've enjoyed this conversation. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Sal. This has been a really good conversation. Hopefully we can do this again. This
Absolutely. Has
been fun to pick your brain and just kind of let our minds wander. And hopefully maybe some people at Omega are listening to this. We'd love to see some of these things come to life. Tom, anything you want to mention before we close?
I am very excited to open my Master Chief and Arbiter Bank.
Matt, anything you want to say?
I just wanted to say, everybody that's been leaving some really nice comments on the videos and the podcast, thank you so much. This really means a lot that you guys are really liking the show. So thank you so much for the very kind and very insightful comments.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been reading everything as we've been producing these for you and taking, you know, feedback into consideration. So we want to make this the best show that we can for you. So that will do it for our show. Thanks for joining Builds with Blocks. If you like the show, feel free to support Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Until next time, evolved.
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 Yes.